Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Danish, your host here. I'm the founder of Women of Wisdom Foundation, and we have been empowering women through an annual conference and many other events every February since 1993. At this conference, we have authentic, intimate, transformative, and healing experiences where we share our stories, witness each other, and transform our personal and collective consciousness. Our 27th annual conference is coming up very soon. It's February 15th through the 17th in Seattle, Washington. Our conference theme is Spark Our Creative Fire, Dance in Power and Beauty, and we're going to be doing that at the conference. You can attend one day or 2 days, Saturday or Sunday, or you can do both, experience in-depth workshops on many, many topics, creative art, spirituality, body, mind, spirit, healing, movement. We just have a lot of fun, and we have a lot of community activities during our shared meals. And also a very special banquet on Saturday evening. So we invite you to join us, be witnessed, valued, and inspired. Check out the schedule at womenofwisdom.org. And we have a special evening this year on Friday night on February 15th. It's a new musical, Nightingale, the musical regarding the life and passion of Miss Florence Nightingale by Pamela Gerke. And that's at all these events are at North Seattle College. So check it out at womenofwisdom.org. So today I'm interviewing one of our presenters, Chase Butis. She's given a workshop on Sunday, February 17th. It's called Witchy Bitch, a Reclamation of the Deepest Feminine Power. Chase is a witch and reclaims this word to describe her deepest essence as a healer, seer, and wise woman. She is a powerful visionary helping to birth the era of the divine feminine. She is one of many that is holding a vision for the future of this planet, one that honors and bows to the innate healing power of feminine energy. She is presented with Starhawk on how the rise of the feminine will heal the planet, as well as at the Firefly Gathering in Flagstaff, Arizona. Chase has a master's degree in sustainable communities, is a holistic body worker, and has a private consulting practice in West Seattle. And you can read more about her at her website, www.chasebutis.com. So welcome, Chase.
Thank you. Excited to be here.
Yeah, I hope you're feeling better. I know you weren't feeling very well before.
I am. I'm feeling so much better. Thank God. Been going around.
Yes. So you don't want to be sick for the conference either. Well, let's talk about you, your story, how you became interested in Wicca, became a witch, and kind of, you know, I think in a sense you shifted your work into this area from the start where you, how that shift happened.
What's interesting is I actually don't really identify with Wicca. I had periods of my life where I, you know, read books and kind of dabbled in it a little bit. But I actually reclaim the word witch as an older, deeper kind of healing power that women have. And I don't really identify it with Wicca at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting because most people do. So tell us what is witch mean for you?
So to me, this is what I'm doing actively. This is what my work is all about, is to actively reclaim this word, because it's a word that even now, if you say the word witch, it's kind of just now starting to come out of the closet a little bit, I think, the word witch. And women are just now kind of starting to really feel empowered by it versus fearful of it. But for thousands of years, the word witch has meant evil woman. And women have been burned. They've been burned alive for just being a seer, an intuitive, a healer. So it's taken the deeper healing, powerful aspects of femininity and feminine wisdom and really stuff them away completely so that women are stripped of their innate power. So it's really reclaiming this word, reclaiming this energy, and claiming it as a sacred healing power that it is, versus this kind of dark, spell-casting, demonic, you know, manipulative energy. I have nothing to do with that. The only way that I identify with a witch is actually in the highest realms of love, lived and guided by spirit only in service of love.
Mm-hmm. When there's so much, you know, we know that history of the of healers, women who were healers, but called witches, that were burned and killed and all that. And, you know, it's part of the patriarchy of not allowing women to be in power and all that. So I think it used to be a powerful word. And, you know, people turn things around to have things be not good for women. I don't know how to say to put it, but
yeah.
But I want to move on to and within that, and that your topic is witchy bitch, and why do you use those terms? I mean, there's it's interesting because it's kind of you know, it kind of can startle you. You go, oh, witchy bitch, and then it's kind of like, oh well, that's interesting. You know, because women are not, you know, if you're powerful, if you're kind of an outspoken woman, what are we called? Bitches.
Exactly. I mean, both of those words, witch and bitch, have been words to really shame and defame and dishonor women. You know, just it's like in one moment, somebody calling a woman a bitch. I mean, women call each other bitches, and men call each women, when men call women bitches especially, it's a way to just right in that moment take away their power. So it's really just taking that word back. It's taking both of those words back, flipping them, reclaiming them, and using them to be empowered. I mean, I feel like in this era, a lot of women, a lot of girlfriends of mine, we just call each other bitches, you know, that's what we do. And it's a way to, it's actually an empowering term. It's becoming an empowering term. And it's kind of, it represents a level of freedom and entitlement to be a woman and to not be held down by that word, to not be oppressed by that word. Yeah.
Yeah. And so talk personally how it's been for you to accept that term witch and bitch for yourself. How has that changed your life?
Yeah, I think, you know, it was, you know, this term kind of came about because I would have, you know, women, I would have, my friends are like kind of psychic healer women, you know, my closest friends. And I would have them over to my house, and we'd kind of have these kind of circle gatherings where we would, you know, it's just wise women gatherings, share and pray and, you know, pull some cards. And I just started being like, you know, these are my witchy bitches. Like, and we just started laughing and, you know, we got to have a witchy gathering, a witchy bitch gathering. And then it just, the term just kind of came about. And it was like, yeah, that feels right. I am a witchy bitch because it's like a sass. It's like a level of sass. It's like a level of claiming something that has been so defamed for so many years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, have you had any backlash about this? Like people react negatively?
I think, I mean, most of the people I share it with are a lot of my clients and people that I know will be able to absorb it. And then I spend some time explaining what it is and why I use those terms. But yeah, I mean, anybody, I've especially noticed that people that have had a traditionally religious Christian background, they have a real aversion to the word witch. It just freaks them out.
Let's talk about that. Why are people afraid of that term, witch?
I think because it implies an evil. People in patriarchal Christian terms, a witch is an evil woman. So it really is affiliated with Satan. But it's also something that's like real. Like they, you know, witches are real. They exist, and it just creates a fear. And I think when you're indoctrinated for many, many hundreds of years to, you know, believe that there's a certain kind of evil in the world and trained in that from day one, the word witch, you know, if it comes up, it's like, whew, you know. So, yeah, I mean, even a colleague of mine at my office who's like a super progressive, amazing, wonderful Christian man who I have amazing, like, you know, philosophical and conversations with all the time and share my work with. When I first told him these terms, I noticed the look on his face, and he was like, why witch? You know, it just like in that moment, it freaked him out, you know? And I, you know, I just, every time I just explain, it's necessary. We have to push forward. We have to go into these dark areas that are uncomfortable, that spark this, that give this reaction, because it's exactly those reactions that we need in order to move forward. We need these reactions to come up so that we can have these conversations.
Yeah, I think that, and the term witch, I mean, it is about being a healer. And you think back in the day, it probably was fearful and looked on as evil if somebody was a healer. I mean, aside from Jesus Christ, you know, who healed people. But yes, the woman doing that is kind of like, I think it brought fear in people that they did something unnatural if they were shown to be a healer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and I think women, you know, especially in any kind of a woman, you know, it's power. Being a healer is a power. And in a patriarchal institutions and societies, it's threatening. It's very threatening for a woman to have that much power. So you're exactly right. Like, Jesus Christ is the only one that can have that much power, you know.
And God.
And God.
So, yes. So let's talk about the core power of what you call a true witch. A lot of their feminine aspects that we and men hold too, such as intuition and connection and flow, receptivity. Let's talk about that core power and in claiming, I would imagine for you, claiming the witch is really claiming these core powers and these innate gifts that we have.
Yes. Yes. So to me, the main, I mean, a witch is multifaceted and, you know, multidimensional, but the main core power of a witch, of everything that it is completely based on, to me, is intuition, which is the basis of that is based in feeling. And so this is all completely connected to the feminine paradigm that we're in the midst of evolving into, because over time, we've been in this, for the past 6,000 years, patriarchal, dominated, you know, whatever, but the past, like, couple, 300 years especially, we've really been based in this rationality mindset, is very head-based and disembodied, and there's no room for feeling. There's no room for intuition. And so, and it's also part of the feminine. I mean, it's the yin internal subtle energies that have been just pushed aside, the energies of feeling, the energies of intuition, the energies of knowing, a deeper knowing that cannot be explained by any kind of rational context. Those deeper feelings and those deeper knowings, those have been completely pushed aside. So the power of a true witch is that feeling, that intuition, and being able to cultivate it, begin to trust it, and begin to rely on it to guide you through life. That would be what I would say is the core power of a witch.
Well, and all women, I mean, I think we all have this, and even men have this these feminine aspects that are important.
Absolutely.
For us in the balance of our
Absolutely.
In the balance of our world. We're more and more, and we're seeing more men too claim this or exhibit this and desire this. And there are shifts happening, and it's so needed. So So this you another aspect of this spiritual practice was intuition. It can be considered a spiritual practice, is incorporating trust. So
yeah,
I would love for you to share about that.
So trust is a huge part of really beginning to cultivate a real living, breathing relationship with the divine. But the divine works through your intuition. So spirit works through the feeling realm, right? There's no rational way that we can measure what we're getting given, the information that we're getting given. It comes through our bodies. It comes through our senses. It comes through our feeling realm. It comes through our intuition. And unless we really begin to truly understand what it means to trust that feeling and trust what the information that we're getting and begin to silently and invisibly rely on this information because there's nothing material or solid about it. It's just the feeling that we have. When we begin to cultivate this as a spiritual practice and begin to integrate trust, actively integrating trust as a spiritual practice, we begin to strengthen and strengthen and strengthen and strengthen our intuition. And that's when it becomes stronger and stronger, more and more and more intense psychic ability.
Yeah, it's about trusting ourselves and getting familiar with how we receive information. People receive information differently. Some get a body sensation. Some people get in their gut. Some people's feeling. And knowing how you, and sometimes we compare and we go, you know, you see psychic people there who see. Well, not everybody's seeing. There's many ways to see. And sometimes you doubt what you see because you don't see it visually, or some people do. You know, they talk like they see it visually, where you are like a clairsentient, you feel it. And then coming to terms with really knowing it, that that's true for you. The information you got is true. And sometimes it's just speaking it and it'll get validated out there in the universe. And so that helps develop your trust, I would think.
Yeah, I believe that. I definitely believe that. I think that we've been, most people, unless you were born with, you know, extrasensory skills, which some are, but it's a rare thing. Most people are trained out of their different sentient abilities. And so the reason I focus on clairsentience, the feeling realm, is because everyone can access that. That's something that everyone can access. Because so many people were so trained from birth and day one with institution after institution to be rationally based and to process information through our minds and our brains versus our hearts and our guts, that the best way to begin to cultivate intuition and psychic ability that I've found is through the feeling, basic feeling realm, which is clairsentience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so important to understand how your body receives information. It's not usually not a mental. And in fact, if the mental is working and you're thinking, it's probably not necessarily true. It's just can be rationalizing. It can be convincing yourself versus going to that deeper level of knowing. I think that's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
So let's talk, and tied in with this is magic. And
exactly.
What is that for you? What's your definition of magic?
Yeah, so I don't really subscribe to the old school kind of witch idea of magic, which is basically this idea of manipulating energy to provide a desired outcome, which is like spell casting or things like that. The way that I view magic is generally, it's actually more of a receptive in the flow practice, where if you desire something incredibly intensely, something that you think that you want, instead of trying to control, manipulate, and distort the energies around you in order to make that happen, you actually surrender that desire, like as deeply as you possibly can, back, and you give it back to spirit. You actually let it go. You take the grasping hands and you open them. You give it back to of love from whence it came, and you say a prayer. You develop a prayer where you're basically offering this back, and you're trusting that whatever happens is for your highest, because you have cultivated this relationship with the divine. So you've cultivated this trust. And so I've done this with many times in my life where something that I think I want and I don't know how to have, or something that I think that I need that I don't know how to get, or it's not working out, I'll offer it back to spirit. And in that, and I'll trust that whatever happens is actually what is meant to happen. And in that, I cannot even tell you the amount of times the most magical things have come to me. It's been like real pure magic. It's like, how did that happen? And it's because I let go and I gave it back instead of trying to manipulate with a magic wand.
Mm-hmm. Not letting go is like surrender. So give us an example of something that worked for you that way?
So I live in this really cute little cottage. It's on the water. It was something that I actually had in my mind's eye before I lived here. I was like, I would love to live in a little cottage on the water. I didn't know how I was going to get it. I didn't know where I was going to get it. I didn't want to spend a gajillion dollars. But I knew what I needed. I knew it. This, I needed psychic space. I needed quiet. I needed to be in nature. And this, through a series of events, I found this cottage, and it was incredibly low priced. It was exactly what I had envisioned. And, it was, available. Nobody had it. So the cottage actually was going to be mine. They had to do some work on it because there was like a mold issue, and they were doing all this work on it. And it got to a point where they actually said that I actually might not be able to move in. After I had thought I was going to be able to move in, I completely surrendered it. I completely let it go. I started thinking that maybe I'm not supposed to live here. I completely let it be. I started looking at other places. I started, you know, maybe thinking maybe I should live in West Seattle. Maybe I should live there. Maybe I should live there. And I just started accepting that it may not actually happen. And that's when, bam, it all worked out. Within a couple weeks, I got the call that everything was solved. I could move in. It was just, you know, that's just one example, but that's the house that I live in right now. I mean, it was like, when I was looking for a house, I didn't know where I was going to live. But I knew I needed a certain kind of space, and it came to me, you know, because I trusted and I let go. I didn't go on Craigslist every day. I didn't go like frantically searching. I didn't go trying to control. I just let it go, and it came to me.
Yeah, there's that word there, control, and allowing the flow, like you said, to allow the universe to provide. You put the call out there. And let go, yeah. And let the universe provide it for you, and more, because we're very yang society. We're very, you know, it's external, it's the action, that's the masculine, which we need. We need the actions. But if we're totally run by actions and got to do, we're missing out on a lot. We're missing out on the intuition. We're missing out on receptivity. We're missing out on connections and making the connections. We can miss out on connections of meeting the right person at the right time, this way things happen. And when you try to control things, you don't allow for that to happen.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Because your hands are grasping, so you actually can't allow anything in what actually is meant for you to come because you're holding on so tight. You can't receive.
Right. Yeah, that's quite an image, grasping. And we're certainly seeing a lot of that these days. Well, let's talk about shadow work, because that's another important part of your work. And why is that important in coming into our true power?
Yeah. So shadow work, I think, is an integral part of what I do, too, as part of my Witchy Bitch program that I've developed. You know, one of my teachers who I love, one of my mentors, her name's Tokopa Turner. She wrote a beautiful book called Belonging, which I highly recommend. But she talks about the shadow, and I love the way she says it. She says that it's just doing shadow work is dismantling the propensity of othering. So it's taking this idea, which is basically pointing the finger. Dismantling the propensity of othering, which is pointing the finger, saying you're the reason that I'm like this. It's because of you, or this is your fault, or this person. And when we start to go into the parts of ourselves that we may not fully want to face, that have been disembodied and distorted and held in our own subconscious darkness, when we start exploring those parts of ourselves, the amount of untapped potential and power is incredible what comes out. Because that's what I have found within myself and with my clients. The deepest power that we actually hold is in our shadow. It's in the darkest parts of ourselves. And when we don't fully begin to open up to that, we'll never be able to fully come into our highest potential and power. So it's beginning to uncover those parts of us that we've held hostage, that have been held hostage inside of ourselves that we may not even be fully aware of, an incredible amount of humility. And because if we have to break through levels of pride that we've built up, because, and I know about this because, I mean, I'm Italian and I definitely have pride and, you know, I mean, and so doing shadow work was incredibly, it was difficult, but also so rewarding because it was like I broke through all these layers in myself and began to see myself in a different light and was able to access energies within myself that I had never been able to access. So that's why I do shadow work.
Yeah, and like you said, if we don't pay attention to it, it can kind of rule things in a very unconscious, you may not even be aware of it, but it can control and rule things. And there are gifts, I was talking to another presenter, we were talking about this, the gifts that are in the shadow, and that's what you're talking about too, when you're uncovering those aspects of yourself that are in shadow, things that you've hidden from yourself, there are the gifts in it, and how do you turn that around to be a gift and a powerful force versus, you know, we think of shadows as being negative and we're ashamed. We don't want people to know about them. We hide. That's what, you know, hiding and feeling shame and guilt and all that comes from. And once you sort of expose that, even just to yourself, you don't have to expose it to the world, but just becoming aware yourself heals those aspects of yourself that you have felt so much shame for in your lives. And so that's a lot of our work as women that we need to work on. And that takes me to, you know, another aspect about being authentic. Being authentic with ourselves and feeling like we're holding authentic power. So I'd love for you to share about that.
Yes. So so we go, and part of my program, you go into the shadow, and then after that, you come out and you're able to, because once you go into the shadow and you start discovering and uncovering, you're actually able to become more authentic in the world. And, you know, it's part of what I do is all about wild authenticity, and it's just, it's beginning to act in accordance with our own truth. So I think, you know, it's so connected with the shadow because, you know, with the shadow, we are trained to kind of have this mask, you know, like we're trained to have this, this way that we come off to the world in order to be accepted and in order to be loved in our families and society. And so when we start dismantling that mask and we start looking at what's underneath it and we start to give ourselves freedom to act in accordance with what is underneath that, because that's really, it's when we start giving ourselves permission and we start allowing ourselves to it's like wherever you point the focus is what will grow. So when we start to giving ourselves permission to be more truthful in our lives and act from a place of more integrity and truth, we're able to be more authentic and we're able to be when we're more authentic, we live a life that is much more embodied in joy and truth and, authenticity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when we're authentic, we are able to tap into our highest potential. I mean, it's like the universe opens up for us because we are being true to ourselves. We're being authentic.
Exactly.
And being witnessed by others can see that when you're authentic. We can always tell when someone's not being authentic. You know, you usually get that gut reaction, like there's something wrong here.
But we're trained in this world we're trained to be inauthentic. We're trained to, so it's, you know, unless you have certain kinds of families, you know, that push you, or you have been born a certain way, or you have a spiritual practice in which you practice these things, majority of people in the U.S., I think, have been trained to be a certain way. So it's a matter of tapping back into what your core, truest desires are and who you are and, you know, how you want to live your life and what your truth is. So, yeah.
So let's give our audience a little tip of how they might start this journey of claiming the witchy bitch or claiming the authentic self or, you know, anything that you feel is important. A starting step for, you know, some people kind of go, I don't know where to begin this work.
Yes. So in my program, the first week that I meet with people and the first thing that we do is actually to begin to create an altar space, which a lot of people who are attracted to this work probably already know that, have that idea. But you would be surprised at a number of women that I've encountered that don't have a sacred area in their house that is dedicated just specifically to their relationship with spirit and themselves, where they can sit, reflect, meditate, pray, where they have objects that are have meaning to them, a candle, something to smudge with. So, I mean, if anything, I would say making a space in your home, wherever that home is and however many people are in it, making a space where you can have a space on the floor with a little bit of a cushion to sit on and a little table with a few objects on it that is your area to begin to cultivate a true connection with spirit, I think is the first step in any kind of reconnecting with the self, intuition, your own witchy power, all those things.
Yeah, that's great advice. And that creates a space to be quiet with yourself, to find a place of stillness. We're so busy in our lives, we rarely, it's hard to carve that time out. And to, put that in your schedule, that whether it's 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever, even 2 minutes helps to go sit, whether you light a candle, whatever, but sit in that spot and close your eyes and just be still with yourself. It's a great way to tap into this, tap into your intuition, tap into who you are. I mean, we explore that a lot at Woman of Wisdom. It's a place where people can, with other people too, share who you are and feel witnessed, and people will, they'll see you, they'll validate, I see that in you, I see you doing that and all that. One of the things that's very, very big at Woman of Wisdom is the divine feminine. And even in your description, you talk about birthing this era of the divine feminine together. And it's kind of been evolving. I mean, Woman of Wisdom is 27 years old and started before that. This drive towards creating space for the divine feminine within ourselves and in the world.
Yes. It's all those yin energies that were desperately needed. We have to cultivate those energies at this point in time and on planet Earth, I think. Otherwise, we're heading towards our own demise. I mean, we're just so yang dominant, and we're destroying when we've lost the feeling behind the destruction. So we just have to recalibrate and rebalance. And it's these yin energies of these and it's really is grounded in a feeling realm. It's the feeling, quiet, yin, internal, receptive realm. So it's up to us women and men, but yes.
Yeah, I would say, the women and a few good men. So, you said they would recalibrate. So how, recalibrate the divine feminine.
Yeah.
What does that look like?
Well, I just, I had an experience. I'm writing my book. My book is called Witchy Bitch, and this is in my book. But I had an experience in graduate school in 2012. I was somehow fortunate enough to be witness to a Mayan shaman who had, one of my professors had brought 12 men to the Mayans. And there was so much hearsay around that time, and everybody was like, what's going to happen? And there was like movies and nobody knew. And this man, this humble, kind man, spoke in, Spanish, and my professor translated. And what I heard him say was that it is not an end of days. It's an end of an energy. And he was like, he said that it was going to be an era that was marked by the feminine. That is what the shift means. And so I kind of took that. I was feeling that, and I took that and I kind of took it and I put it away. And I feel that it's like recalibration. We've gotten so, it's like, the yin and yang symbol, which is the basic oldest Taoist form of wisdom, which is the balance of masculine and feminine energies that absolutely need one another. They depend on one another in order to survive, in order to thrive. But what we've done is that the yang is so dominant and the yin is so small that it's basically almost killed the yin. And so that's what we're doing to the earth. So it's the recalibration is the growing, the enhancement, the enlargement, the the women all over the world beginning to come rise and feel their worth, feel their power, women and men, but also reintegrating this realm of the feeling, the sensitivity. And so that is recalibrating. So the recalibration is this growing yin energy that's going to soften and reduce the yang so that we can once again be in balance on this planet. That's where I feel in my deepest core we're heading. So
mm-hmm. It just may not be as fast as we want it, but these things, you know, it's evolution. I was just talking to somebody in an interview the other day talking about the evolution of the feminine, evolution of humanity, evolution of the soul. You know, we're going to be doing a lot of this work. A lot of different presenters are doing this in the way that their gifts allow them to, whether it's movement or whether it's singing or making a mandala or creating a rattle. All this contributes towards developing that power, that core power in yourself, and recalibrating the feminine in yourself and with others. I mean, that's part of this is a collective consciousness that we're leading the shift. And so coming together at a place like Woman of Wisdom brings that collective consciousness that we're moving it forward inch by inch, you know, and yet sometimes shifts because out of the necessity and a lot of times it's trauma or disasters, a call for it to speed up in many ways, it feels like it's speeding up. But I want to thank you for contributing your gifts to Women of Wisdom and encourage people to check out your workshop.
Yay, thank you. And thank you so much for putting this beautiful conference on. I think it's just so wonderful. Thank you so much.
Yes, well, I'm glad to have you. You're a newbie to the conference. And we have elders who've been there a while. And we have a lot of new people, and it's great. I love that mix of the new and the old, and people come, new friends. We meet new friends. We see our old friends. It's a great place to explore that. So again, Chase is giving a workshop. It's on Sunday, February 17th, called Witchy Bitch, a Reclamation of the Deepest Feminine Power. All this is held at North Seattle College, February 15th through the 17th. Check it out at our website, womanofwisdom.org. And again, you can register for even just one day and immerse yourself. If you only have one day, come Saturday, which includes your meal, Saturday lunch, and Saturday the banquet. Or if you aren't able to make that, come Sunday. But the best thing to do is to come both the days and really, really indulge yourself in the divine feminine. So again, look at womanofwisdom.org, and we hope to see you in about 10 days away, something like that. So thanks again, Chase, and we'll be seeing you soon.
Yay, thanks, Chris.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.